This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation is brought to you by Commonwealth Bank, Atos Holdings, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Alive, Bonneville Bones, Carifta Aquatics 2024, Burger King, Barefoot Marketing, and AML Foods Limited.
And gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, live and in full effect in your company. I am so happy to be here today. We are living. We should be giving praise. Someone slap yourself on the chest. You're here, baby. You're still here. My God, you still get a chance. All the divorces that you've been through, all the trials and tribulation that you've been through, everything that happened, the woman didn't take everything from you, the man gone missing. My God, but you're still here. We have an opportunity. Your children messing up. We still have an opportunity to be able to do a great deal of things. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to give praise and continue to be able to push forward to the mark. We're here, baby. Let's make these things happen. Today, we're going to have a great show. I got some great things in store for you. I want to be able to put that on the table. Before we do that, got to shout out my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They are here live and in full effect, being able to provide you cutting-edge stuff, cutting-edge insurance for all those persons who got fleets. If you're out here with your two SDs, you got two plates, you got five plates, if you got jitney, if you got taxi, if you got livery, whatever you have, they can insure that thing for you. Go down there and check out my good, decent friend, Etheric Bowe. He can be able to assist you in that manner. 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. They're located number 407 South Blue Hill Road, south right east of the Golden Gate Shopping Center. It's a beautiful day. Wednesday, March 6th. If you're celebrating your birthday, I want to say happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear. You put your name there. Happy birthday to you. You celebrate your birthday. I just pray that the Father continues to be able to watch over you guys and bless you immensely as you move from glory to glory, make your things happen. Guys, pick up the Guardian newspaper today. You can be able to see some stuff. The government settles with Frank Smith. The amount of the settlement is unknown. This is crazy. I think everybody wants to know, well, how much they give him? How much he get paid? If you read the story, you could kind of deduce how much, you know, kind of ballpark figure what the government would have actually given to him. So make sure you read the paper and see exactly what's what. The defendant to become a witness in the Agent Gibson trial in the papers today. And Monroe says that the Bahamian troops would help Haiti with maritime security. This is absolutely bananas. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Before we get into anything, I want to introduce you to my guest. Today is Wednesday. It's a panel discussion. The line is going to be open for you to participate in what we lay on the table. I want to introduce you to none other. You know that my guy is going to be here, Garth Roseborough, being able to chop this thing down with none other than Dazzy in the house. Oh, Daz, Benedict Lightburn is being able to chop down some things with us. We are grateful. I hope you heard her last evening on her show. Beyond Borders?
Beyond the Rock.
Beyond the Rock.
Oh, yeah.
I should know that. Beyond the Rock is 8 Mile Rock. Beyond the Rock.
How you turn into 8 Mile Rock?
Everything's
8
Mile
Rock. It's fitting.
Everything is 8 Mile Rock. Don't fight me, right? Good afternoon. Say good afternoon to the people out there.
Good afternoon to the people. It's good to be here, Howard. But I like that. Beyond 8 Mile Rock. That's good stuff.
I'm beyond 8 Mile Rock.
Congratulations.
Here now. Praise God. God, say good afternoon to the Bahamian people out there listening for you.
Hey, good afternoon, Howard. Howard, trick me. I keep telling them we're putting these beautiful Bahamian women in the studio with us. We can't focus like this. The country cannot move forward as long as we got...
How that can possibly be? And we have a conversation right now about the resurgence and of being able to see LBT, Loretta Butler Turner,
return. You cannot use
return.
The word resurgence. You cannot put Loretta Butler Turner in the same conversation with Dazzy. That is erroneous.
No, I'm saying to you...
No, you can't do it.
So you're saying that we're non-productive.
You have already started a conversation of non-productivity, sir.
This is bananas what you're doing.
If
right
the foundation
now.
Is cracked, then we cannot build the roof.
By God. This is bananas what you're doing. You're saying to me that we cannot produce and perform around women.
She can do it on her own. But with me sitting here, I'll become an impediment.
An impediment. That's wrong.
I don't believe that.
When you to the right and she's to the left, which thief you think I'm going to pick?
Well, today you'll be in paradise. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here. I want to be able to put the numbers out very early. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. You can be able to text me on that line. On Monday, we started the conversation being able to look at the contrast. I started the conversation like this. We started to look at the old guard and the new guard. And we started to find out, we sort of explored this idea as to whether or not the old guard, which is tradition and the concepts and ideas of culture that existed in our country for a long time, can exist with this sort of an evolving concept of where the country should be going and technology and the incorporation thereof. Yesterday, we tiptoe into the taboo. I said that. I said that. We had some
of the
push.
It wasn't a tiptoe, Howard. I heard you were waist deep.
It was
with floaties and the whole nine.
It really wasn't. I don't think it was, right? I don't think it was. Let me tell you why. We talked about a few things. And in getting into those conversations, it's a nuanced conversation. A lot of persons kind of cringe when you present this concept of corruption, this concept of some things that you would talk about in our small spaces, but not necessarily come to the forefront with. So today, I want to be able to rest this on the table for all of us. Where is this kind of a new generation, this new Bahamas, where we're headed in this direction? I want to talk like this. I want to talk from the perspective of being able to hear all elements, all avenues, with all the callers calling in. Where are we today? Where are we today? I got a call coming in first thing on the show. I want to be able to take that call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good day. I've got Howard Grant.
G'day, my brother. How you doing?
How are you and your partner there?
I'm good, man. All is well.
Listen to me. Remember, I tell you this.
I'm listening.
It's going to be how much weeks in a year? 52 weeks?
52 weeks.
He's going to get 54 weeks in jail. Just enough to pass him over the limb so he could resign from Parliament.
Who is this? Is he?
Then his co-accused, his ace in the hole, can now turn prosecution evidence. He could get rubbed down in cooking oil, car oil, olive oil. He can't miss it.
Chicken fat, the whole thing.
He can't miss it.
Wow.
If he misses one, he'll be richer than Frank Smith them after that.
My God, we can see it. You know, I got to let you go because this is already in court now. And we've already seen that, especially with this particular case, that he's gone before the judge a few times and say that, you know, the media has brought it to the forefront. How can he get a fair shake? right? And so we want to do this, but it's in the papers every day. And I don't think we need to be able to specifically speak to this case, but speak to the concept of tradition that existed in this country and the ideas of corruption that existed far and wide, even perceived corruption, as to whether or not we are in the time and dispensation of straightening this all out. That's what I want to know. I want to know whether or not we're living in a time in this country right now, 2024, the year that Cat Williams sat on Club Shay Shay and brought everything to the forefront. My God, then money come. Everybody will tell the truth. Are we in the year, time, and dispensation of the truth seekers to acquire the thing that they've been looking for? Talk to me.
What are they looking for?
Truth. Honesty.
But what is
this kind of an upright position?
But there has to be some element of it being self-serving as well, right? I think we're looking at it from a particular angle. So yes, Cat Williams
justifies you, because if you've been screaming it in the wilderness right. for years, and now someone say, "Well, okay, actually, you were right." It justifies you, so it is self-serving in a sense.
But what is going to happen now that the truth is here? What is going to happen? Because when you talk about the old guard and the new guard, I think that conversation depends on how they see each other. So does the old guard see the new guard as competition or legacy? What is the perspective?
Because I think it's competitive.
Competitive.
I think it's competitive. I think the posture and position that we exist in this country right now is purely competition. I think persons don't necessarily see each other as shoulders to be able to stand on for the purposes of acknowledging those persons to move to another level and another tier. This has to be, even the concept and idea that exists from a political standpoint, all for me, baby. It has to be about me. And I believe that as time continues to go on, this evolution says we have to change this perspective of being able to be self-serving into serving the community.
But at what point, here's the thing, at what point does someone transition and say, okay, I'm now in the stage where I have wisdom that I can impart and I want to cultivate what is behind? You see what I'm saying? Does that transition not happen because you have a nation in survival mode?
I don't know if wisdom has worked like that. I don't know if persons to say, well, I now have wisdom, right? I think
it was on Kung Fu Panda. I've heard it, right? I've heard people say, listen, I'm at the age now where I don't want to do it. I want to advise and guide. You see what I'm saying? So when does that transition happen?
But I don't think it happens like that. I don't think there is sort of this sharp line that separates, okay, now this was a time of acquisition for me to get something, and now it's time for distribution for me to give something. There's no line that divides that. Wisdom places you in the kind of position where you know gradually, even as you acquire, it's important for you to identify persons to pull them around your feet in preparation to move to. That's mentorship. Because mentorship, you could still execute your job, whatever it is, as a member of parliament, as a preacher, as a pastor, as a doctor, as a lawyer, you could still execute what you need and still be in the capacity to provide insight and mentorship in these things.
Do you think that the social cues are missing, though? Because when we look at our neighbors over on the other side, right, they have their society structured a particular way. When you're this age, you do preschool. When you're this age, you know, you get married, you have a child, you move into the suburbs. When you get to this stage in age, you know, you move into a community that's not a retirement community, but, you know, 55 plus, for example, right? And it has these benefits, these subsidies, et cetera. Are there no social cues here for us to aid in these transitions during the stages? Because here, that's not a thing. You buy a house, right? If you can. And you just keep it for your entire life. That's what a lot of persons do, right? You have other people that obviously do different things, but are we not developed enough where we have a society that can give social cues? Because the economics for the majority of the population is so depressed that there is no ability to pivot during these life stages?
I can do this. And I'm going to say this. The social cues that we read from America is wrapped in the commercialism that they sell us. There's sort of an idea of the land of the free and the home of the brave. America, a population of 356 million people. In California right now, there is over a million, maybe 2 million people that are absolutely homeless.
Yes.
100% homeless. Okay? If you multiply that by the population across America and you identify these things, the population for homelessness is skyrocketing.
Yeah.
People are losing their homes. A lot of things are happening. There's inflation. All these things are happening in America right now. the social cues that we read historically, with the it runs concurrent with the social with the commercialism that they give us, right? So the social cues that we've read that says that America, you start off here, you go to school, you get educated, you make some money, you do this, you do that. That really doesn't exist. That's a facade. It only acquires maybe 18% of Americans, less than 25% of Americans can really realize this dream. That's a middle class. That's a middle class social cue. Ooh. That's a middle class social cue. The social cues that we see here, the marketing and the money is not strong enough to give you the idea that the Bahamas is this kind of a great paradise. It doesn't. We don't have the money. So the only thing that you can see is the bare bones of our society. And the social cues is we are broke. We ain't got no money. That's the social cues. And you may be broke for a long time. Learn to survive. Learn to take care of yourself. Learn to do these particular things. So don't get it misconstrued. America has the exact same social cues that we do as it relates to being able to know which inflection point, which tier you on, whether or not you're on a good course. But for the most part, based upon what's happening globally, all of us are in the same shoe.
There's a YouTube channel I like to follow. I've been following him for about 7 years, and it's called Go Black to Africa, right? And so he started off in this journey about 7 years ago, a Black American having a lot of zeal. He relocated to, I think it was Ghana. I think he spent some time in Tanzania.
Ghana giving you a free passport right now online.
Right. So he spent some time in like Tanzania, I think. It was Ghana at one point. And he's at this stage now. He just released a video 2 weeks ago, and I laughed, right? And I didn't want to laugh, but I saw it coming. The video is titled Get Out, right? And so he's talking now. He went from the whole journey of, you know, go back to Africa. We need to do this. We need to develop. To now saying, listen, there are other societies that are developing and that we don't have to, you know, go ahead and participate in. And we need to leave because the continent is stagnant, right? And so everything he spoke about, the stagnation, if you would just put our name in the place of that, you would think he was talking about here. And it absolutely horrified me, talking about the infrastructure, talking about, you know, the way the posture that the citizens kind of see themselves, the lack of growth, et cetera, et cetera.
This is a European construct, you know.
It's horrifying.
It's a European construct that was actually given to Africa in terms of the socialism that we have, this colonial concept and ideas that was fed to us, right? And so our desire, despite the fact that we are from a different society, despite the fact that we are from a different geographical location, we've all been fed the same Kool-Aid from the Europeans.
But it's failing for Black people.
But we don't know that. Only in retrospect we can identify
it's
that.
It's a failing.
Only through history we could identify the fact that this is a failing thing. Only from a historical standpoint, when we start to read the books, when we start to identify who we are and knowing our strengths are not necessarily European strengths, we start to say things like, hey, listen, it's time for us to recognize that we can do better. I'm one that believes that we don't necessarily have to leave our rock in our home to go and develop somebody else's space. I don't believe that we have to do that.
I don't believe it's necessary either. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have conversations beyond the rock, and one of the things that I want to talk to is someone who actually, people who may have come back from being abroad for a period of time and their reflection now, and did they make the right decision and what strides they were able to make? Because I believe that, you know, we have a couple different responsibilities, not only to ourselves personally, but also, you know, to the wider community as well. So when you talk about where we are and what our plans are, are we learning from what the old guard did that may not have worked? And are we implementing it for the future? Or are we just throwing everything out from the old guard and saying, oh, you know, it's because it's old is wrong, and trying to start fresh and doom to making the same mistakes?
There's a gulf that exists in our society that doesn't allow the happy medium, the blending, sort of infusion of the old guard and the new, right? This gulf that exists in this particular space says the issue that we have, right? Y'all taking pictures, y'all need to stop, right? the issues that we have in this country, right? The issues that we have in this country is separated with two sectors. The first sector is, okay, this is how the old fellas did it. We can do it better. And so there's no There's no interaction. There's no fusion. There's no growth. There's no development. There's no happy medium. There's always this relentless condescension that speaks from the younger, or the older rather, to the younger. There's no space that we can see this sort of an idea coming together, and that's what's happening in our society. I believe that.
So do we have a middle class is the question?
No, there's no middle class.
Would a middle class help our society?
Of course. But there needs to be, we have to deal with anti-corruption before we can deal with the middle class.
Do you you really think that's possible?
You can't have, okay, so the middle class is equality. The middle class is a representation of equality at work, right? Is the representation of a commonwealth at work. That's what the middle class does. It says democracy is live, it's well, it's rich, you can feel it, it's tangible. It's not designed strategically to be able to identify friends, lovers, and family members. It gives equal access and opportunity to all. So if you're educated, if we can empower you. If you are innovative, we can empower you. There are opportunities that exist here for you. The government of the Bahamas seeks to give you the perception of equality. They want to say that these things can go to tender, that this and this is going to happen, that you're going to have all these, but that's not true. All this is not true.
It's a facade.
It's none of this is true.
Right.
Right? Not from the reports on the ground and not from the information that we know behind the scenes.
Right.
Okay? Sometimes the cards are stacked in favor of the people that they may know, the relationships that have been established.
Right.
Not necessarily the best thing for the country going forward. And I don't want to throw everybody under the bus when I say this, but these are the experiences that people have. And this is the exact same thing that is eroding the middle class in our country. It's killing it.
Here's the thing. So when you look at it in context, then it begs the question, is the Bahamas then for you to just live here but not necessarily participate in terms of economics? And should every Bahamian look at it as if, well, I live here, but I make my money abroad? Or
it's
I just
a service
live here.
Economy.
It is a service economy.
The service economy has actually seeped into our minds. We have, many of us, if you're not woke to the point or you haven't become, you know, alert and alive to the idea that this is not necessarily for us, you're going to be stagnant in this position, accepting what you can. We talked about this before, Garth. We talked about the fact that there is no desire for real success. There is a desire for comfort. People move towards comfort. Yesterday, I had a conversation, and I started to talk about it. And I said, I spoke with this young man, and the young man is a pump attendant, right? Now, I identify pump attendants, and this is no condescension to them. I identify their position as a transient position. Young people coming fresh out of school who need a job, who need to understand what the service industry is all about. How do we participate in this? I could still make some money, so forth and so on. These are great jobs for you. The young man says to me that he made a career of this, that he'd been in it for a very long time. I thought this was peculiar. And then I realized that Bahamian people do this across the board. No matter the transient positions that you're in, that you're supposed to get in where you fit in, do your job, get out, and look for another opportunity, you find yourself there 15, 25 years simply because you've never been looking for success for yourself. Talk to me. It can get deep right now. It's getting deep. You have never really been looking for success for yourself. You've only been looking for a paycheck, for comfort. You've been looking for a space that you could get something for little effort. The least effort I could give, what I could possibly get back. And this is the space that we're in. Talk to me about it, Garth.
I'm listening to both of you. And you're speaking about us having the ability to govern ourselves, to control our successes, and to just simply, you know, circumnavigate failures. I'm looking at the history of our country, 1492. Columbus came here. He was an invader. He came in, he invaded, he took advantage of the local people, he wiped them out. That's the story that was told. By 1780, when we had the American Revolution, and you know, people were leaving America, they brought black slaves here to the Bahamas. Once again, we as a people, we were migratory. Black people, we were migratory. We came here by way of these Europeans and these Americans bringing us here. In 2024, Dazzy, the black people are still migratory. They're still coming here by boat. to the Bahamas looking for opportunity. The Bahamas is not a part of the G8. We have never even been a part of the G7. We are simply a former colony that, in our minds, they told us that we were independent. And so when you have a mother and father and they have a child, and the child says, "Dazzy, I want to be independent now. I want to do my own thing." Now, they've been living in a house where you own the International Bazaar, the one that's being sold. They live in that house. They've benefited as a child from the International Bazaar. Now that you're independent, you want to go out on your own, question, do you own the International Bazaar? It still belongs to mom and dad. All of the profit still belongs to mom and dad. If mom and dad doesn't give you a bank account, a nest egg, something to invest with, something to take you through, and you cannot find a job, tell me, how does that help you? This is 1973 I'm speaking about. A country that said you want to be independent, and I ask you the question, where did the money go? I'm asking you again, where did the International Bazaar go? Where did the infrastructure go? Where did the Aragonite go? Where did all the abilities to have industries other than to prostitute yourselves with something called tourism, where you bow once again to the entire world with a smile and say, please feed me? You're nothing more than an international beggar.
This is what you said.
This is what they left the Bahamas to be. So when your children today in 2024 come out of school, the first thing they know is that if I go to Atlantis and become a professional beggar with a smile and nice clothes and yes, sir, and no, sir, I can get me a Honda Accord, I can get me a gold chain, I can get me a gold watch, and I can have me a decent gal or a nice-looking fella. Hopefully we could get married. Hopefully we could go to church. Hopefully we could have some children. And then guess what happens? No legacy, no International Bazaar. We die. This is the cycle of the Bahamas today. You act as if we are in control. We are not in control. We still have mom and dad, who is Russia and England and Britain and everyone else telling us what the heck we can do in a global society, and we are left without a middle class. The middle class is unreal, and all that's here in the Bahamas today is either you're part of the 20% who knows how to survive, or you're part of the 80% who's trying to find your way. That's what I see.
This is what you said.
What
you
is the Bahamian dream?
The Bahamian dream?
Yeah, God. Is there a Bahamian dream?
You have been living a nightmare so long that the only dream you have is that of heaven. And heaven happens after you die. Golden streets, pearly gates, river of life. You can eat fruits. You can't buy no fruits.
This is not applicable only to the Bahamas, sir.
It may not
the
be.
The concept and idea of the Negro spiritual is the idea that after death, yes, there's a place for us.
Yes.
So this is entrapped within the Negro.
But here's my issue. We are living at the mouth of the greatest nation on earth, United States of America, its military strength and its ability to take care of anyone that it so chooses. We live at their doorstep. And you're telling me that rather than us look at all of the scientific measures that they've accomplished, going to the moon and everything else, that the only thing a Bahamian could ever consider doing is looking for bamboo shack and another little freaking food on the side of the road. He ain't want no ambition. He don't want to be a scientist. He don't want to be a moonwalker. He doesn't want to create a smart city. What type of people do we got living here?
This is heavy what you're doing. First and foremost, I want to chop down a few things. Then I got to go to a break quickly, right? You said you put it in the context that the service industry is professional begging.
That's all it is.
The service industry, that's global industry now. This is an actual industry.
Yes.
A $1 trillion industry.
Yes.
It's professional begging.
Yes, that's all it is.
This is heavy what you're saying, sir.
If you don't smile right, you get no tip.
This is bananas what you're saying, sir.
And the tips is what make up the money that has to trickle down.
Sir, they have created curriculum.
Yes.
And dedicated schools.
Yes.
Continue to be able to tout how these tourism schools and these professional capacity has allowed people to matriculate through college and to acquire
yes,
a job.
Yes.
To put on a suit, yes, to beg. That's what you said.
You watch a movie, Django?
Yes,
you
of see, course.
You saw Stephen? What's he, Stephen, say? You can't go in the house. You? Not you. That's the Bahamas. You can't go in the house. You will burn the bed, the sheets, and everything else up in there. You were supposed to be in there. He could go in there, though, but not you.
It's peculiar when we start to have this kind of a conversation, because the oldest industry in the world, beyond the fact that if we're going to get deep into it and talk about prostitution, when we start to be able to talk and identify, the oldest industry in the world has always been service.
Yes.
It's always been service.
But the only reason that is illegal is because governments can't profit from that. It's not an issue of the morality of it.
Whoa.
No, it's true. It's not an issue of the morality of it. It's an issue of taxation. So if you want to use that as an example, the only reason that is illegal is because that person would be considered to be an entrepreneur and that it's difficult to tax it. But if they were to turn on a cam, if they were to register themselves as a business in the adult entertainment industry, register for the business license and pay the government, and now it becomes legal. It's the same actions, right? And so there's no such thing as morality when it comes to policing nations in a lot of cases. It's just what can be profited from. If you own your body, how can the government make money from that? Because you're policing when the customers come, how much you charge them, you're paying no tax.
It's heavy what you said. I got to take a commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be able to get back here and participate in this conversation with us. We started off at the top of the week to talk about whether or not there's a happy medium that could exist between the old guard, the new. Yesterday, we tiptoed into the taboo, and today, the lines are wide open for you to be able to have a conversation with us to know whether or not this nation is really ours. Let's talk about it. Quick commercial break and be right back. After this.
As smart as you think I am, I never thought about that.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Hey, y'all having a party? Why you ain't tell me?
You only is come to tote. Who tell you anyway?
Don't worry about that. Wings? From Popeyes?
Yeah, man. Popeyes have 5 flavors of wings now. Honey barbecue, ghost pepper, signature hot, sweet and spicy, and roasted garlic parmesan.
Anyway, while I'm here, I might as well try one.
You better head to Popeyes and grab a box.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. Give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. In the studio with me today is none other than Dazzy and Garth Roseborough, being able to come here to, and just, you know, I feel like they're trying to stir the water. Just got this kind of a stagnant water that exists socially, being able to have this mundane conversation that continues to be able to go nowhere. Let's talk about it. That's why I wanted to yesterday tiptoe into the taboo, tiptoe into a space where you notice what you're thinking, you notice what you're saying. By my God, Howard, you don't say these things out loud. Watch it. You got a family. You got children, and these are the things that happen. When are we going to come to a position in this country and confront the evils and the injustice that are thrust upon us every Jesus day? We're going to have to deal with this. One day out of seven, we're going to have to come to a clear position to say that this is wrong.
Here's what we have in the country, Dazzy, and Howard. We have an aunt and uncle. The aunt is the PLP. The uncle is the PLP. The aunt is the FNM. They have children, so they are cousins. Only their children eat. Only their children eat. Everybody else has to beg. Now, we watching through our window how good their children living and eating and how fat Auntie and Uncle getting. And all we really, really want is for Auntie and Uncle to walk across the street and give us some of that too.
I don't believe in this analogy.
And so every 5 years, we choose between Auntie and Uncle. Every five years.
I don't believe in this analogy.
This is what has been happening for the last 20 years, by the way.
I don't believe in this analogy.
Tell me why. Fight me.
I hope you're prepared for this fight.
Howard, before you fight him, let me just say
I gotta fight him.
Let me just say this, right? I've seen persons bypass and circumvent what Goth is talking about. But you know how they had to do it? Very strategically, using leverage from the U.S. to, I don't want to say hide, but to spread their business out in such a manner that if inland revenue pops up and does a, I don't want to call it a shakedown, but call, you know, does an audit where they are not believing of, you know, the fast business growth that you have acquired, and they want to perhaps levy a fine if they feel that, you know, something was done wrong, that they are financially protected in an economy that is very, very encouraging of capitalism, where you could open a business in 24 hours. That is the only way that they have managed to not filter down into that drain.
Let me fix this. If inland revenue come to your business and if it's not above board, that's not victimization. That's you practicing corrupt means. And they have the means of being able to identify these things. Now, what I imagine that you're talking about is that there are some persons who have gotten monies from ill-gotten means. There are some persons in our country who, based upon proximity, based upon relationship, have access to certain monies that they can't answer for. And for them to secure this position, they either, one, fortify their relationships politically within this country, or two, identify how to be able to expand beyond our borders, right? That's not necessarily above board business. In my view, that's not above board business. That's one. Two, the reason why I don't believe in your analogy is because I and many people like me have done it.
Done what?
Have survived without the FNM or the PLP. Have survived without the concept and idea of being somebody being able to give me something. Have survived without being able to go as a beggar to ask someone for something. There is quality. There is capability. There is strength in the talent that exists in us.
But listen to me. You don't understand what I'm saying. You don't exist, Howard. You do not exist.
In which way?
Every 5 years.
You could see me. Touch me.
Every five.
I'm right here.
No, every 5 years, it's going to be gold. It's going to be red. And people like yourself, we don't care about you. We don't know where you live. We don't know how you make your money. You're just non-existent to us.
But that's not a bad
that's not so.
Thing. But
Paul,
no.
That's not so.
Tell me different.
There's 65,000 people that listen to me as a result of an opportunity that existed and was presented to us from 1992 on a private radio station. Talk to me. Let's be clear. On a private radio station that speaks to the population, intellectuals in this country.
Your listener.
Howard Grant may come and go, or there may always be a Howard Grant, or there may always be a Juan McCartney, but that does not negate, depress, or suppress the fact that we exist.
Dazzy.
And the voice out here still need to be able, it still need to be a fight.
Dazzy, and the listening audience, to help me with this, because what Howard doesn't understand, one of your most loyal fans called me yesterday from Atlanta, Georgia, 10 o'clock at night to say, Howard's show was great last night, but I want you to know one thing. I do believe Howard actually resonates with 20% of the population of Bahamas. The other 80% ain't got time to listen.
That's fine.
That's what he said. And I'm saying to you,
but statistically, that's correct.
The 80% of the people who are listening to us right now, how does this resonate with them? How does this sit with them? Now, the 80% looking to the PLP and to the FNM, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you this. Whatever we decide to do, you and I still will live a good life tomorrow, no matter who wins.
No.
As for them, it's all about getting on your knees and saying, I wonder if my government can look out for me. And if the government can't do it, Jesus or God is supposed to do it for them. You and I are going to find our way with the help of God, but these people are depending 100% on politics or 100% on God himself.
Now, let's do this. Darcy, he touching numbers. You got to forget me. He's touching numbers. 180,000 people or so has registered in the last election.
Only that.
180,000 people or so.
Mm-hmm.
The PLP garnered 38% of that. 38% of the 180,000 that voted.
Right.
38. That's less than 40%. 10% of 180,000 is 18.
Mm-hmm.
20% is 36. Less than 40% of the people. So my point to him is that you will never capture 100%. But to transform a community, guess how much you need? If you want to transform America, new ideas, new concept, Russia, new ideas, guess how much people you need? 20%. Well, you only need 20% to change 80% of the people's mind. That's it. That's all you need.
Most people, right? And this
That is scientifically proven, sir. So to say that only 20%
he's trying to convince us.
I'm trying to convince you from science. Would you say
that you can get 20% of these people to work together?
Yes, you can.
No, you cannot.
Oh my God! I can give you a point right now. I can get deep with you. How much percent of the voting population exists within the Free National Movement? Would you say?
I said, but between 32 to 34%.
Okay, 32 to 34%. Would you say that that's the exact same percentage for the FNM? I mean, for the PLP?
A little bit more.
A little bit. So let's say 40%.
No, 38.
38%. Okay, just under 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we haven't even gotten to 80% yet.
Okay.
But these people continue to be able to get major numbers moving into leadership in this country.
Why?
How?
Yeah, tell me.
Because it only takes those people who make a, who's convicted and make an actual decision to change the country.
Okay, so out of...
We don't need an indecisive person. They don't even contribute.
Darcy, out of that 60, 70% of people represented by the PLP and the FNM, tell me where does the other 30% lie then? And where are they?
Undecided.
So indecision does what in terms of progress?
Indecision and lack of contribution places you in a position of almost being a dead man.
Okay.
You got no voice, you got no word, you got no contribution, you got no nothing.
That's the people who could change the country.
No, they can't. Because they've never gotten up and participated.
They've given up. They're tired.
A lot of them have given up.
They didn't even try.
But Howard, here's the thing, right? So all of this, yes. Yes, in some respects. But do people want what we are describing? Do they even want that? Because with more responsibility, with more comes more responsibility. I'll never forget, God rest his soul, I'm not going to call his name, but I worked for a gentleman, this is years ago. I was just out of high school. You know, you're doing your little internship. And he had a housekeeper, right? And I remember he gave me her salary to give to her one week. He said, you know, pay Miss So-and-so. When I saw it, I was appalled. I said, Mr. So-and-so, she needs a raise. He said, for what? To buy a car? Then she got to fix the car. That's more problems. To buy more things? Then she got to get a washing machine. That's more problems. Her life is easier just where it is. That's what he told me.
My God, he's thinking for people now.
Thinking for people.
He's telling people this.
So are we giving people
you don't really need
what
that.
They want?
That's what the government doing to us. That's what the government doing?
Y'all don't really need this money, Howard. If you get this money, you can have more children. If you get more children, you're going to figure out how to get the uniform to put up in school. You don't need a washing machine. You don't need
then
these things.
You need proper BPL. That's more trouble for us. Right?
Let's talk about this, ladies and gentlemen.
Process.
We're here live and in full effect. Quick commercial break. Get to news. Be right back after this. The foundation.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Creativity is in my blood. From shoes to handbags, fashion lets me express myself and embody Bahamian culture. My name is Aiden Barrow, and I'm the creative director of House of Assembly. A Lives Liberty Prime plan allows me to focus on my passion and stay connected, whether at home or abroad. Once I've created something new, I can post to social media from anywhere and get instant feedback. Alive has a plan for everyone, and it's created with you in mind. Alive. Believe in best.
I am a small business and work hard's what I do. And if you're kind enough to try me, I'll work hard for you. I am a small business and work hard's what I do. And if you're kind enough to try me, I'll work hard for you. I am a small business and work hard's what I do. And if you're kind enough to try me, I'll work hard for you.
Sweetie, Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts. Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant, your company, the foundation, chopping the thing down. Today we're here with none other than Garth Roseboro and Odaz Lightburn. Dazzy is in the house with us, being able to chop these things down today, just talking. When we left off with something strong. Just being able to talk about some stuff. Dazzy, you left off with a story.
There's a part two to that story.
I need to hear this story.
You want
to
hear it?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the country from the wider perspective. And this is an analogy that I want to be able to put on you. Let me hear the story. Go ahead.
All right. So like I said, this is internship right out of high school before I went on to further education, right? So I was upset at this point that his housekeeper was not making what I thought was a livable wage. So he said to me, he said, okay, when she comes to pick it up, call her in my office. Now, usually he would speak in front of his staff, you know, we were not an obstacle. So she came in that day and I said, you know, please come into the office. So he spoke to her and he said, listen, Miss So-and-so, I'd like to give you a raise. And he gave her the amount, right? It was an additional $150 for the week. So he said, you know,
per week.
She would have made an additional $150 on top of what?
$600 a month extra.
Extra. And this is a figure that he asked me very liberally. He said, well, what figure do you think she should have? And that was the figure I gave. Well, aside from what she gets now, an extra $150, I think. He said, okay, no problem. Called her in the office. He said.
And this was what, 20, 15 years ago?
15? So this, yeah, okay. Yeah. So he told her, he said, listen, I'm giving you a raise. She got upset immediately. No, sir. No. I already have enough responsibilities. I don't want no raise. I don't want no more work. He said, no, it's no work. He said, it's just a raise to say that I appreciate you and this is your raise. So she got very uncomfortable. I don't like it, sir. So he said, well, why don't you like it? She said, well, you know, she doesn't trust why she deserves a raise. He said, well, you don't think that you work hard enough that you deserve this money. So she didn't answer that, but she just said, I don't want it, right? She's very uncomfortable. So after about 5 minutes of them going back and forth, him trying to convince her, Howard, right? Convince her to take this money. You know, nothing's happening. It's just a raise. She deserves it. She was very uncomfortable with it. She even referenced the fact that none of her friends or her peers doing the same kind of work makes that kind of money, and that also made her uncomfortable. So he said, okay, let's forget about that. What if this week, then, let me just tip you, because I really appreciate, because he had a function or something that happened the previous week. He said, I appreciate the work you did. You know, you run a good household. Let me just give you this week as a tip then. Get yourself something nice. Do what you want to do with it as a tip. So she said, okay, thank you, sir. And he gave it a tip.
She accepted the tip.
She accepted the tip.
That's the embodiment of our society.
So when she walked out, Howard, he looked at me square in the face. And he said, I know you think that your empathy and your sense of what other people need and your vision makes you a better person. He said, it does not. It does not. He said, your vision put onto someone else that does not desire it, if that happens, you will pay, and you will pay dearly for it. And do you know, I had that conversation with him. I would have been 19 at the time. I called him up out of the blue when I had turned 32. And his secretary answered him. I said, can you please transfer me to Mr. So-and-so? And when he came on the phone, I hadn't seen him at that point for maybe about 5 years. And I said, Mr. So-and-so, this is Odaz. And I paid. And he said, you what? I said, I did pay. You were right.
You said something that I want the listening audience to know when you told me this story.
Yes.
And I wrote it down. He said, when man sees vision for other men, that's ego.
Yes. He was adamant about it.
As a man, when you see a vision for other men,
That's
merely ego.
That's ego.
This is heavy.
He was adamant.
I had to kind of break this down because I like this kind of an information.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to participate in this. And as you tell this story, I realize that this is the embodiment of who we are as a society. We don't believe that we deserve anything, not from a formal perspective. We don't believe that we deserve this money. We don't believe that we deserve this raise. We're content with the monies that you gave us before. We're going to do our job and just going to retain this position. If we talk about an increase for payment, for you to be able to move up a couple of notches, hold on, wait. You can give me more responsibility. I want that.
My friends don't make that.
You can cost me to be able to be an outcast in the social class or the setting that I'm in.
But
people think I better than them.
Yes.
I want that.
Right.
I don't want anything that's going to elevate me above the comfort position that I'm in. However, I could go play some numbers and hit a lick. I'm content with that. I can accept your little tip. I'm content with that. But if you're going to change the rhythm of how I exist, which is going to now say to my mind, I could do better. I don't want that. That's our society.
But there's a book called...
From the Far and Wide of Who We Are. I'm not talking about the niche. I'm not talking about the nuance. I'm talking about our society. The 80% that Garth talks about. This is our society. We're content with where we are. It takes the 20%. Not necessarily a vision for a man, but a vision for community. You see how he's bringing it back? You know how he's going to bring it back. It takes 20%. Because why? The 20%, and if you break it down, is only 5% who's actually moving the economy forward. We still need participation unless this will be stagnant, stink water as a society. Let's talk about this.
Your numbers are correct, Howard. But here's what's happening here, Darcy. The 20% is not now going to take the risk of dealing with the 80%. After COVID-19, it became very clear that self-management was very important. Self-care is very important. There's a scripture in the Bible, if they want to get a little churchy with us, where the master says, you know, you have the poor with you always. You know, take that little bit of oil and pour it on my feet. And so we're now at the pouring of the oil on my feet.
You know,
stage.
I have that. This, you know, I have that pulled up.
This is when Mary won't break the perfume and put it over Jesus' foot.
The prostitute. Yeah.
She won't break the perfume
the
and
poor,
put it over.
The poor you will always have with you, the but poor, you will not always have me.
That's correct.
Yes.
And so guess what happens now to be found out? And I want people to call in. How we get them the number and let the phone light up. The people that you help the most always seem to be the people that crucify you.
So there's a book. You're not incorrect. And that brings that gentleman's statement true. And I've lived that and I have seen it. And here's why. So there's a book called, the writer is called David Schwartz. And the book is called The Magic of Thinking Big. And in the book, he's talking about this firm that had a job description. And they had, I guess, one salary assigned to the job description is $50,000. And they posted the exact same job description and they put a salary of like $120,000, right? I'm just making up the figures. I don't remember exactly what it was. Do you know they had 10 times more
for the applications
for the 50,000?
People don't think they deserve it. They don't think they qualify for it. They don't think
this is based upon
their background and where they come from. They ain't even
gonna
get this.
Thing.
They think that they have to have certain characteristics and qualities and certain contributes and this posture and procedure before we even get to this position. And my God, you are worth it.
Yes.
You're worth it. You're worth it. No, this is just a text. I'm going to be able to read this in a few minutes. Let me see if I take the telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
What's going on, Howard? How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I waited so long and forgot everything.
I saw this blinking through the break. You
but
had
I wanted to ride on Desi Gowntail about something she said.
Me here.
About everybody's opening up a small business now, or you could open it up any day, or within 24 hours. Now, to get to my point, the COVID just over. This is our second year after the COVID. The government know the country is not back up to power, and it's going to take even much longer. I'm a retailer, and the government is coming now this year, and every year the system. I don't know why they have it like this, where they have all these monies you have to pay to the government in the first 3 months of the year. I don't know who think of these things when they sit down, because how am I going to replenish my stock? I paid my staff. I paid my utility bills. I don't have nothing to replenish my stock. So you got people now who realize businesses are in shambles. They're going to Miami and coming back and selling out of their cars to you.
My God.
And listen, that is the only thing I could afford right now. Thank God for them. So inland revenue, and you see these inland revenue people, they go into school and they got on blinders, because if it ain't in a book, they tell you that don't exist, that can't happen. But they live in a bubble with this these accounts. They don't think you could pull deals or do deals. Or I was just out in Vincent Road about an hour ago. One woman got a whole fence with things she's selling.
I will be decent with you.
Hello, Howard.
I right here with you, but I need clarity.
Now, saying all of that to say.
Hold on. Before you go further, I need clarity, because Inland Revenue can call me and cuss me out.
They call me.
Howard, I let the man come on here and make it seem like when we go buy the book, we wrong.
That is what they do.
Yeah, but they're getting by the book. These are the rules and regulations that exist.
In the real world.
But caller, 1 second. Howard, what he's talking about, I've experienced. So I remember this was a lot of years ago. I went with a friend of mine to put in for a business license. And they asked her what was her certification for this particular business. So she said, I don't have this certification. I'm going to hire someone that has it. And the girl at the window said, well, you need to have it. She said, but I'm only opening the business. I'm going to be the business owner. I'm hiring staff to do the work. And the person at the window thought that that made no sense. They were like, well, if it's for a business, you should be doing the service. And she said, no, if it's a business, I own the business. I hire the staff. So the caller is talking about there's certain nuance that cannot be
deviated
from.
But you have to know your business.
You have to know your business.
You have to know that.
But you can know your business without you yourself, for the type of businesses, was holding a certification. Because you need to be a business person.
You don't need to be certified.
Not a craftsman.
You need to be smart enough to identify the smartest people to do this.
Exactly.
You don't need to do it.
Right. But they were telling her that she needed the actual designation herself.
No.
You see?
Absolutely
and
incorrect.
So the caller is talking about...
That is absolutely incorrect.
There's certain nuance that is lost. Like when you yourself are not in business and you're just going strictly by the book and the guidelines... There's not the ability to.
But let's be decent about this now. Let's be decent about this as we talk about this in our society, because there was a commercial that I will never forget. It came out a few years back when we were doing our show together, Dazzy. If you remember the commercial, they say, "You really think that the government can do this VAT thing?" Remember this commercial? Remember this?
Yeah.
You really think the government can do this VAT thing? That always stayed with me. Historically, I've always believed that the government has theorized and pontificated the particular position and never did it. They never applied themselves to it. They never did anything that it was. This is how I grew up. The only government I can remember ever doing anything, and y'all can get on me right now, is in 1992 and 1997. I just want to be very clear. As I grew as a man in 2002, from 2002 to 2007, I didn't expect nothing to get done. And then I expected maybe a few things may get done between 2007 and 2012. My God, if you understand why I say it, this is only under Hubert Ingraham. This is only under Hubert Ingraham. When we saw some things happen from historically being able to hear something and see nothing happen thereof. Now, I'm going to say this. in this dispensation that we're in, both the FNM and the PLP recognize that if you want to compete globally, you're going to have to be able to prepare yourself with legislation, training, information, and go above board. This is the introduction of the inland revenue. Now, I'll be the first one to say this to you. I believe that there is a great deal of room for them to develop and be able to execute the way that they theorize, in theory, that they should do. But they are to collect the revenue for the Bahamas. Now, when they go and buy the book that all of us, they be content and we say, okay, this went through legislation, all these particular things. When they go into the book, despite the fact that this is uncomfortable socially, this is a requirement. It may be foreign, but it's now a requirement. And I don't think we should beat them up for that.
I don't think they're being beat up at all. I think that you have to render to Caesar what is Caesar's. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I do understand that this is not a business-friendly environment. The Bahamas is just not. It's very hostile. And business owners will tell you that. And I often feel compassion for them when, you know, persons come on the air and beat them up, right? And say that, you know, they're not doing this and they should do this. And why don't businesses do that? But the daily things that they face in just operating a business, the prohibitive costs for, you know, power.
The ease of doing business.
And the ease of doing business, renewals, licensing. You know, it is not an easy undertaking. Staff.
I accept that.
Talent. Sometimes it's just not what it needs to be. So I have a lot of compassion for entrepreneurs and business owners. I do. Because I know that a lot of the positions they are placed in is hard. And even the way that they pay tax, it's on revenue. It's not on profit. You know, that can be extremely difficult. But at the end of the day, if we talk about the old guard and the new guard, we still have to grow the society in such a way that we attack talent from around the world. Why would talent from around the world want to come to the Bahamas? Because that is the immigration strategy that a lot of people are doing. So we talk about immigration purely in a negative sense. But immigration can also be positive for nations as well. But we don't touch that because we don't have the things that are going to attract the best and the brightest.
Nor do we have the education because they realize, and this is why they keep fighting for scraps in their minds and their conversation with those our brothers and sisters from the South, believing that you coming in to eat my lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they never saw themselves above a certain caliber. Let me take the next telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Good morning, actually good afternoon to the nation, and good afternoon, God Rose Falls.
Yes,
how are you?
Good,
Dazzy.
Hi.
Listen, Mr. Grant, I can tell you, as a businessman, it seems like small businesses in this country is all tied up into money laundering because the money comes to your account. Only for you to take it. Only for you to take it and spend it somewhere else.
Sir, you know, sir.
Yeah, for
this
me,
is
it
too
doesn't
much.
Make
cook
sense.
12
bags of rice with a candle in an hour.
Listen, it doesn't make
government.
Sense to you.
Sir, do you know that we can hear you? We can hear you. The whole country can actually hear you.
I just felt that.
Yeah, I want you to hear me, sir.
Go ahead, I can fetch you. Go ahead.
Listen, it does not make sense for me to make the level of money that I'm making for it to hit my account, for me to take it off of my account to send to somebody else's account, you know, and to give revenue. I mean, revenue department, I'm still trying to figure out from them, how is it that they charges me so much money every year, okay, to run my business? I mean, if I am giving you that level of money, what is it that I'm supposed to benefit from? What am I supposed to spend for myself? What am I supposed to keep for myself as a businessman?
All right?
I have employees I have to pay. I have equipment I have to run and keep up. You know, I have all of these things I have to pay. National Insurance, I have to pay all of these things. And then at the end of the day, I have to give you a large percent of the monies that comes into me. Okay? It just does not make good business sense. I mean, I'm not saying that we're not supposed to pay taxes. We're not supposed. We should. We really basically should. But, I mean, come on. Show me where does it balance out. You understand? And secondly, I want to ask you, the people that is on the front line of our nation that deals with our tourists, the taxi drivers, bus drivers, the tour drivers. What part of the Bahamas do they come from? Because I don't understand. I mean, you have taxi drivers. I made a defense, a very good defense this morning on your co-host show with respect to why gas stations should not get a raise at this time. And this taxi driver called in and said, oh, Don't listen to him. He's a political whatever, and he is defending the government and this and that and that. I'm defending the Bahamian. I think the Bahamian needs a break. You understand? Because it is coming at us left, right, and center, and everybody seems to want more. Gas stations make money while we're sleeping. I mean, how much more do they want? You know, but this guy comes on, and he comes to their defense as, oh, he's a political opportunist and this and that, and he preaching for this and that. And come on, man. I am defending the Bahamian people. I think we have a burden on us, and I think the level of monies that we have to put in this economy, and it does not balance out, I think is a bit much, okay? So I just need to know. I mean, we got taxi drivers and tour drivers that takes foreign news to murder scenes, and they come up with all these dumb questions. How do they get to be on the front line of our nation dealing with foreigners? Come on, man. Somebody needs to tell me what is going on with those people. Somebody needs to check them.
Thank you, man. I do appreciate you.
For I these, saw one with an ankle bracelet.
For the example. Like a month ago. Yeah, I did. I know a couple. they're listening to us right now.
Yeah, man.
They just twitched their left leg. They
I had to confirm. I asked him. I say, is that a... He said, yeah, don't worry about that, sweetie. I was like, I'm not worried about it, but I just,
you can't take me nowhere. Oh, thanks, man.
No, but listen. No, I don't know. An honest living. So.
His example that he gave actually about the person who's taking... people to murder sites and so
they're
forth.
They're making
so
the fair.
I don't know
money.
Whether or not he wants us, and I don't know if the culture in our country is to always hide information. I don't know if that, the information that exists, the murders that exist and all these things that's happening in our country, I don't know whether or not I don't expect us to go out there and just kind of broadcast it on our t-shirts and billboards all over the country, but I don't know whether or not we are supposed to be able to kind of reserve the information. Hey, how's it going in the Bahamas? John, it's great over here. You know, like, is there a Gestapo or something going to be able to come after us? No, I don't believe so.
But so here's the thing. So secrecy harms, I feel, in a lot of cases. And the reason why I say that is because with the way how the internet is now, there's no such thing as anything being private. And if anything has been private for a while, you know, sometimes it'll find its way to the top. If we look at what's happening right now with P. Diddy, if we look at, you know, a lot of things that Cat Williams spoke about, sure. You know, it's just snowballing and snowballing into more and more, you know, based on what is out there. So I don't think that Bahamians necessarily pretending that all is well helps us, because a lot of what goes on in the nation is actually dysfunctional, and a lot of the citizens feel like they're in an abusive relationship with the country. So when you are... It not this government in particular, just the way the structure is set up. Because I don't have any issue with any government, you know. This government or the previous one or who will be next. Because governments are what they are, and around the world, they kind of function the same way. And again, the government is us. This is not an alien spaceship that flew out of the sky and dropped these people on us. They come from us. These are people. Cousins, uncles, whatever. Some of them are good people. They may be constrained by...
Some of them.
You know, what they can and cannot do. But my point is... You know, at the end of the day, we have to not be in a silo and not be in a bubble, because if we weren't, we wouldn't have the brain drain that we do now. Because some persons left because they literally have felt like there's no way for them to make their way here, depending on the industry that they're in. And so one of the shows that I did like about 3 weeks ago was actually reading the responses of the persons who I reached out to and say, hey, do you want to come on and talk about the great things you're doing abroad? And them telling me no.
Hell no.
And here's why.
I listen to that show. Yeah. I listen to that show.
And that's real.
Let me see if I can read a couple of these texts and then go to the line. It says, good day, Howard. You seem like you have a problem when people come on and speaking the truth about what's happening to them, and who cares what the government think. And when they are doing it to the people, it seems like you always fighting for the government. You look like you want a job. This is bananas. I had to read
Howard?
That.
No, man.
These people don't know. They don't know me, right? So I'm not going to fight them, right?
You're just being devil's advocate.
This is heavy what they say. Let me take a telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. How I want to talk back to you, Desi.
Yes, sir.
Because you cut me the last time. I wasn't finishing my talk.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I'm trying to understand how the government expects, after the Christmas, that's when you have your best sales of the year. And you sell all your products just about. But here they come, and they want you to pay all these taxes within 3 months. How are you supposed to replenish yourself and keep your business above board? Now, listen, we got to compete with now the import people who are importing a bunch of stuff. A lot of people going online. The small businessman can't compete with this import thing now. It's affecting my business. I can feel it and see it.
You got people who selling out their homes. You got people got the things all on their fence. Like I said, I was just down St. Vincent Road. One woman got her fence, I mean, from with all the clothes you need to wear to say you're fully dressed.
No, I see that. I see that.
Then
I know, she got a mannequin on there, too. Yeah, I see that.
Right. Then you got the people who riding around in their cars trying to hustle because they don't have a job. They selling products. All these things we have to compete with. And the government doesn't seem to care. Or they're supposed to be learning people and book people, but they're not. Because I'm sure they see people selling on their cars and got things on in their house. Or they even add on a little piece, turn it into a shop. All these things, the average businessman who is paying VAT, business license, paying the utilities, paying their staff, paying vacations. Because every time I turn around, somebody's going on vacation. How they expect us to make it?
I'm listening to you.
I feel like I am waking to just take care of people.
Yeah, but I'm listening to you.
I like this guy. I like you, my brother.
This is your cousin.
I like you. You're my guy.
From Harbor Island.
Oh, my God. Call me. 827-0111. Let me come to your business.
Let me write it down. Hold on. Let me write it down.
827-0111.
0-1-827-0-1-1-1.
Yes, sir. Call me after the show so okay. I can come down by you and okay. You can take care of me too, right?
Yeah, but Howard, the government, these people who are so-called accountants, and then you got your taxes to pay on your properties. How is the average businessman who had a dream now supposed to, because I'm ready to shut close down everything.
My God.
I'm at that point because I don't see anything in it for me no more. Mm-hmm. And this, as the older I get now, I get to understand these things more.
Wow.
When I didn't have anything, I didn't care.
Mm.
But now I am involved in it, and I can feel the pinch and see it.
I like this.
Because there's no way I can pay, and then I'll be finished paying VAT for the Christmas in March, and the one in March come out in March.
Okay, so...
Then you got, and then they say they want all this in, with your inland revenue receipt.
So
all these things they want you to pay for.
How
are we supposed to make it in our own country, man?
I hear your cries.
I will let him talk. I call me after, cuz.
Okay, all right.
Thanks to hear from you. Good to hear from you.
I hear your cries, right? I think what we're mistakenly doing is that when we go into business, we feel as if all of the business, Howard, is supposed to bring profits to our table. That's why we go into business.
That's the objective.
We want to make money, right?
I got to make some money.
So the government knows that you want to make money, but guess what? The government also says that I also want to make money. I also need money.
On top of your innovation.
So I need your brain.
On top of your labor.
To bring some money for us.
Yes.
So you make the investment, like Airbnb, you make the investment, but you make sure we get our share. That's what the government is telling you.
They didn't know that we was making so much money, and then when they look at it, they say, oh my God.
That's an opportunity.
We got to get in there.
So,
you cannot discuss cheese amongst rats.
So here's what's happening.
You shouldn't hide it.
Here's what's happening. In the month of December, that's your money month. You make a ton of money. Everybody knows you make money because people don't pay their rent, they don't pay their mortgage, they don't pay the car payments, they ain't paying no school fees. They can support Santa Claus. So we know you made some money for Christmas if you have the right products. In the month of January, everybody gone for broke. The government knows this, so they need to hurry and let you know that when you finish December, come January 1st, we need that money like right away. That's in the first 3 months, right? If you didn't pay in January, we got to catch you for February 14th, eh? We show off Valentine's. And now, if you don't want to put that in red and white in your store, that's on you. But we need that money from Christmas, which you made. We still focus on the Christmas money. But let's just say you don't give us no Christmas money. You don't give us no Valentine money. We show some of that Easter money or that fishing money. You can bring that here. Now, guess what? After that, everybody go on a vacation for the summer. And in September, you know, tourists in town. So when you want the government to get their money, when you expect for them to get this money, they got to catch you. I'm a fisherman, Howard. When you go to the reef, you go to the reef where got the most fish. The next fishing trip, where do you think I go? To the reef where I get the most fish. You, sir, happen to be the reef that has a lot of fish.
No.
He's looking for you in January, sir.
He is an established reef. He is in a space that everyone knows. He has to compete with these
the sharks.
He has to compete with the condominium where the Dominicans drop in the sea and all these other people. He has to compete with these.
And why do we care? Okay.
Now, let's be very clear about this. During these times in this country that we have been living in Nassau now for 13 years, okay? Every single season, we know when money make it.
Thank you very much.
Every season.
Thank you very much.
In fact, at the end of the month, At the end of the month, all the stores is have sale, 20% off, 50% off, this and that, all these things. You know why? Because that's when the government people are getting paid.
Okay.
That's, so everyone knows the rhythm of our society.
Okay.
Now, when Christmas time come around, when back to school come around and all these things come around, I come into the telephone line right now. When Christmas time come around and back to school and all these things happen, you, in your established position, who is paying people in your store every quarter, every month, of for the 12 months of the year, to ensure that when this time come, I should be able to make some money, have to compete with the fellas who popping up on the side of the road. Okay. With the fellas who could drop a tent, with the fellas who can do these things and have baskets line up and down Carmichael Road.
Okay. But that in of itself is not the issue.
Thank you.
The thing is, and here's why. So some people are self-employed. Some people are business people. You have founders. You have entrepreneurs who are serial entrepreneurs. You have people who just want to be the director. You have someone who just want to be a shareholder. All of these things are different, and how you conduct and run your business is going to be different. So if you are someone that considers yourself to be self-employed, you may want to do the manual labor for most of the work. If you are someone that considers themselves to be a business owner, you're going to look at profitability, how I need to scale, how the structure needs to happen for me to scale up and to employ the people to do this job for me. So is the Bahamas in a hospitable environment depending on which juncture you're in? You may say yes or no. And so business is not forgiving, and it's no altruism there. The government is not in the position to hold anyone's hand or to facilitate and help in a certain way. They are there to collect their tax to run the country. So you have to look and self-audit and say, is the business I'm in and is the structure and the way that it's set up suitable for the environment that I'm in? Because when I just Google the expensive countries in the world, top 10, this is based on numbeo.com. The first one is Bermuda. The second one is Switzerland. The third one is Cayman Islands. The fourth one is the Bahamas. So are we getting value for money?
Let's be clear about something. The World Bank and the IDB did a study some years back and indicated that for us to be able to survive as a society and us to be able to thrive and continue to be able to move forward, we're going to have to develop more entrepreneurs, right? They've actually set aside some money during this particular time, and this is where we saw the introduction of the Self-Start and the Jumpstart program under the Free National Movement, where you could be able to get top tier, $5,000 for whatever the case may be. They continue to be able to talk about Bahamas Striping, who was one of the only companies out of thousands and thousands and millions of dollars that they gave out, one of the only companies that was able to survive based upon relationship, based upon consistency, whatever they was ever they was doing.
Relationship
right?
is important.
They did what they had to do, right? So they did well. They did well, and we continue to be able to...
Behave yourself, God.
No, we continue to be able to shower them with accolades and say that they've done well. But the millions and millions of dollars that were given out to ensure that we can identify entrepreneurialism didn't exist. Now, let's get back to this. Without entrepreneurialism, without the middle class, without growth, without equality, without access and opportunity for all to be able to get it, without an even playing ground, we will always come back to this issue. The government of the Bahamas, based upon what you say, is to be able to collect their revenue, so forth and so on, but that's not what the SDBC says, SBDC, SBDC, Small Business Development Company, right? Corporation. That's not what they're saying. That's not what the establishment was thereof. The government has a responsibility for not only educating and empowering, but providing opportunities for small business to survive.
We can say a lot of things.
Yeah, but that's what
how is it functioning though? Is it happening? And they do amazing work.
That's the question that we're going to talk about.
We have a culture issue as well.
Let me take this call.
Yeah, let's take this call. We have a culture issue.
Let's take the call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Morning, Howard. I mean, good afternoon, Howard.
Good afternoon.
Yes, and Goss. Demi.
Hey.
Do you think, like, in the States, a brick-and-mortar store going out of style, online shopping, is even, it didn't cost you less?
Correct.
But I think, like, over here, they have the marketplace.
Yes.
And, like, it can be soon, brick-and-mortar store going to cost so much. Mm-hmm. It'd be cheaper to just call, do it, sell out your car or from your house.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing it already. It's happening.
I noticed it, but in the States, I mean, like, Walmart is empty.
See?
Because they would ain't even, like, they just cost, it costs less to them.
No, it's true. He's right. It is a big theft issue happening.
In Walmart.
No, and
all of America.
All of America. Yeah, but Walmart.
It's everywhere.
Sam's Club, Target.
Everything.
But, yeah.
Everything is online. Hey, Goss.
Yes, sir.
I've been to spring break from Buffalo, Lauderdale. I've been to from spring break in Daytona, Cancun.
It's the spring break,
But these new spring breakers, the people, the Jews on Miami Beach, tell them don't come.
Yeah.
Well, they're breaking up everything.
They just released the statement.
It's like fighting. They're your Negroes. Remember, they have Indian Creek.
One thing, but you're
island. They're building themselves.
One thing, but you identify that Negroes did this. You got to stop.
I've been going there from MTV time.
You got to stop. I keep telling you, historically and statistically, numerically, you cannot be right.
We want to take the ghetto on Miami Beach.
Yeah.
You cannot be right. That's what comments is.
I'm not going to fight you, sir.
But which way lies, right?
But
the rise of it, right? You know, if you start commerce, they had a project in Miami, right? Go right past the Scott's project. So them niggas put stolen cars in front of the train, and the train got stopped. And they walk the train of all the nikes and fish and everything.
But you say
they tear it down.
You say nothing about Bonnie and Clyde. You say nothing about his stories. I don't understand.
Two people.
This is.
But I'm saying right now, South Beach. Go to South Beach. You go to jail because last year 100 guns they confiscated. For fights and they videotaping it, and the Jews said we don't need this. Now, Memorial Day is canceled too. Because we can't behave.
You know what I can do? I can call you Unk from this point forward. I got to call him Unk, right? I got to be able to do that, right? And I'm not talking about like Shay Shay. I'm talking about the other Unk, right? Because I like what he's saying to be able to bring it to the forefront so as we can discuss it. It's very provocative. But the truth of the matter is numerically, systematically, historically, this can't be right. This can't be right. It cannot be. The world's issues cannot be black people. It cannot be.
They always profess it to be. But let me say this, Howard. And I think this is where we lose track of our identity, right? Even as a country. We have this fantasy or this idea in our head, Darcy, that the government is here to provide for us, to give us proper legislation, to give us opportunities so that we may progress as a nation. I've taken the idea that the government is simply here to police its citizenry. There are boundaries and there are walls and there are ceilings that we're compartmentalized as a nation that, Darcy, you can go on the east side of Collins Wall, but you can't go on the west side. And the west side can't come across to the east side. And so the government is expected by global society to care for its citizenry in such numbers that we are governed to where we have 80% majority over here as the masses, and we got 20% over here to the right. To go beyond that measurement, which has been in existence since I was born, and it's all over the world showing that 20% on one side and 80% on the other side, this seems to be a global numerical idea. And so the government of the Bahamas has done exactly what the world has wanted it to do, because we do not govern ourselves. We are governed by those who tell us and inform us as to how we should govern our country.
But see, that's there's still some danger in that narrative. And I hear you, you know, and I understand and I agree with a lot of your points. But the danger is this. So you have a nation where, you know, they cannot self-police because of culture. So we actually have a culture problem. The caller is not 100% wrong, you know. The way how he may demonstrate or he may articulate it may sound a bit off. But he's actually kind of right. And the Wall Street Journal actually posted what happened. So Miami Beach has a message for rowdy spring breakers. Don't come here. And it says, the ad campaign by the popular spring break destination says visitors can expect curfews, beach closures, and arrests for drug possession. So when you have a race of people where what is the culture that is associated with this race of people? If you look at what the pop culture pushes out, it's people like Sexy Red. It's calling their women a certain thing. It's the genders fighting amongst themselves, right, and having certain narratives. It's taking money and throwing it away on designer items. That is pushed as what is cool, what is the culture,
ma'am,
right? And so when you have that being done and you assimilate these values, what do you think you're going to get?
Madam, listen to me.
What do you think you're going
to
get?
Listen to me again, please.
I want to take it back to government.
Howard, I want the nation to hear me when I say this to both of you. Shakespeare says it best. All the world's a stage. And all men merely players on the stage. We have our entrances, we have our exits. Everything around us is measured. Everything around us is constructed. The whole idea as to who Howard Grant is based on color, based on description, undoubtedly based on gender, based on geographical location, based on religion, it's all orchestrated. This is the function called government. And each country, 200 countries around the world, has a government. And the job of the government is to keep you exactly where you are. And like the people say, you're exactly where God needs you to be. Do not move out of your space, because to move out of your space is the problem. Haiti moved out of her space. Had she stayed in her space under France, she would have been a different country today. Had Cuba stayed in its space, it would have been a different country today. You must stay in your space. To move out, erroneous. The Bahamas has nowhere to go other than to sit here and wait until they tell you what to do.
So these are not new problems.
You don't want to accept it.
No, I don't.
But I want you to tell America it ain't true.
No.
Howard Grant, the foundation.
America.
Tell America what to do then.
America was established by loyalists who actually left Britannia. Right? They identified themselves. Some of them stayed in Canada. Some of them stayed in America.
Britannia?
I want us to be very clear about this.
They left.
The revolution started life.
You saw a revolution.
Revolution started life.
You saw a revolution.
That's revolution.
Ain't no revolution.
The civil war that happened in America started in America.
Happened over economics.
Yeah, but see,
and Britain and America still in the G8 together, eh?
Okay, so let's
still friends, eh?
But see, the initial reason for doing things sometimes gets lost in the adaptation.
Thank you very much.
And the only reason that is because you see things differently as you move in a space. You cannot assume the problems of a different space if you're not in the space. And this is not a new, this is a human thing. There was a, what's his name? Cicero from, was he 43 BC? What was his quote? Times are bad, children no longer obey their parents, and everyone is writing a book. These are human problems.
But this is a cycle.
This is a cycle.
All right, so what happened in eight, so
in college,
100 years later,
right?
We're seeing the exact same thing. Now, let's be clear, I got to get back to God. I got to deal with God, okay? Every single space that he's identified had revolution.
Right.
In Haiti, the only reason that we celebrate right now the independence that we have mm-hmm. in this country, the only reason that black people can be able to identify and say that we are the captains of our own destiny and being able to move forward is as a result of what's happened in Haiti. I'm telling you, I'm asking you, this is the first time.
Nothing has changed in the Bahamas.
Let's be very clear.
Pre-1968.
Let's fix this.
To the present. Ain't nothing changed in the Bahamas other than the skin color of those who govern this country. Not a doggone thing has changed.
But you can't say that then. You can't say nothing changed. That means something changed.
What changed? Only skin color?
Okay, let's fix this now. Hold
on. It's like Animal Farm.
I got to go back to you.
George Orwell.
Hold on. I got to go back to you. If you're going to identify what's happened in Haiti, that was because of revolution and identifying the fact that they needed to be independent unto themselves. They understand. That's Haiti.
Okay.
If you're going to talk about what's happening in the embargo that America placed upon Cuba,
yes.
that was based upon Che, understanding the liberty and revolution existed within the belly of Cuba, and they didn't want things to happen in a particular manner.
Are they free?
If you remember,
in the 50s,
Cuba was used as a space where they used to go down there and party, so forth and so on. And that's not what leadership identified.
That's what we want to do.
Now, if you want to start to talk about these things.
You want
to
party?
The first time when people bowed, when the change come, because change is inevitable, when people bowed and said, we're going to allow you to be able to take her, we don't see them anymore. And we're talking about the Taino Indians.
We're
talking about the Lucayan Indians.
He's one of the most brilliant people I know, right? Howard Grant, right? I love him because he's young and he's brilliant, right? I can ask Howard one question. Haiti, Cuba, the Bahamas, are we truly free? Let me hear your answer to that.
Is anyone truly free?
I see you're going by the G8 free. They free to do whatever they want to do.
But they're still confined
they
to their organization.
It
was G7.
They call us a developing nation.
We are.
Not a developed.
We're not
developed. A developing nation. That means you ain't count yet.
But we won't count. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. And the reason why I said it is because we won't count because of who we are. See, there's nobody externally that doesn't reflect back to us what we don't believe in true to be to ourselves, you know. It's true. You laughing, but it's true.
No, he fighting me for something.
That's why when they talk about solving crime, I'm like, what are you talking about? What
God
do you mean?
He started off the day and said he come to stir up trouble. Let's get back to this.
Okay, go ahead.
The fact of the matter is this. The liberty that we've identified, the liberty that we seek, Now, right. Let's just be very clear. The Bahamas has never, the first time we have revolution, right? The first time we had this kind of a fight, this determination, the Burma Road riots that led to the position that we're in right now. But we still have self-governance. You know why? Because all the other Commonwealth of Nations had already identified it was the trade winds of time said that it's time for independence in globally. And as a result of what was happening within the Commonwealth of Nations, they allowed us to move towards self-governance. They should be very clear. That's what happened.
They allowed.
That is exactly what happened.
To govern our house, but we don't govern the community.
For nothing.
But we don't own the community.
Though. When you fight, you are excommunicado. Okay. When you fight for something, you are excommunicated.
I agree with you.
You know who fight? You know who fight? The Native Indians. They fought. You don't see none of them no more.
They did.
Okay.
Okay, good.
You know who fought? The Tino Indians. You didn't know that. They fought.
Yeah,
the Tino Indians. And they are eradicated. We don't even. The semblance of them don't even exist no more.
Yeah, they got a little bit in Belize and this mixed blood. Yeah, I got
I'm talking about here in the Bahamas.
No, in the Bahamas, yes.
When you fight, if the power presents itself to you, you are eradicated.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that revolution doesn't exist. It doesn't mean you can't deflect from the fact that Cuba did what it did, that it did, in terms of being
paying for it today. They're paying for it.
But how do you say, I lived in Cuba for a year. Yeah. This is one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Oh boy, you come from a country where the U.S. says that your dollar's worth something.
Sir,
so you in the pot while everybody else boiling in the pot? You got your little leaf.
There are 12 million people that live in Cuba, over 12 million people. The level of brilliance that exists in there is almost 95%.
Thank you.
These people are geniuses.
So what do they have to show for their genius? Let me hear this.
You go to Cuba and you can see.
No, I ain't gonna go to Cuba.
Why?
Show me on
because
the
America
stage.
Said you shouldn't go.
I know the two fellas who come on the raft from there in the little truck
stop
boat
it.
And so forth.
Wait, let me tell you why you have to stop it. You'd recognize that Cuba had presented information and they've gotten awards for being able to cure levels of cancer.
Okay.
If you read, you'd identify that they've actually started being able to rectify issues.
So should not the world release
HIV
the embargo
AIDS.
On Cuba and let these brilliant the people into
don't
the world?
Have an embargo on Cuba.
What does the world have?
The world don't have an embargo
what
on
is
Cuba.
The world
America
have?
Has an embargo
America
on Cuba.
America is the world.
The world has been subject to the conditioning thereof.
America is the world.
Oh
ain't
my
nothing
God.
Happening without America.
God. You see how you scorch us
nothing
to
nothing happening without America.
You scorch us to round. Let me take
big,
a telephone
brother.
Call.
It's China first.
Let me take a telephone call. Call out. Go ahead,
then
caller.
Then.
Go ahead, caller. Forgive me. I had to row with Garth. Next caller. Caller, go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. It's great. It's great, guys. I thought y'all was on the keep playing dominoes.
Go ahead.
Even in reading text.
Go ahead, but it's your comment, sir.
But Howard, you need to stop and listen because you think you know everything, but you really don't know everything.
No, I didn't say I know everything. No, Garth is absolutely incorrect. I can tell you that without a shadow of a doubt. Garth is wrong. Today, he's wrong.
I listen to you many
and
days.
If you agree with him, you're wrong too. How can you negate? How can you negate
Sorry.
The fact that the liberation and the fight that people had in this country, in this world, that led to the liberation of who we are and what we stand for here in this country, especially in the region, is nothing. That we continue to be able to sit in the position and always genuflect to these things. You too are taking on the same position of what the story that Dazi said to us. We are nothing unless they say that we're something. That's crazy. That's crazy. Because a population of 400,000 people, all of us don't have the same mindset. There are many of us who are in position that are working both locally and globally that are making significant strides towards achieving great things for this country and being able to leave their mark for the world. How can we put everybody in one bucket? How?
We're not putting them in the same bucket, Howard.
But you just did that, God.
No, what we're saying, we're coming out, Howard. We're having a discussion from the foundation. We're talking about the foundation now, right?
But God, you don't got to tell me that. I know that.
Yes,
I am telling you what you just said.
I think
and
God,
for me
this
to
is
be able to clear this
an
up,
attorney, you know.
Right? No. For you to be able to clear this up, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I'm only saying to you that to identify, especially the examples that you've provided, to identify those things, Garth, these are people that led to a very clear understanding that despite the segregation, despite the fact that we've gone through everything that we've gone through, that we can liberate ourselves.
Let me fix this for you, Mr. Howard Grant.
Let me hear it.
You, the great Howard Grant, used to work for a hotel.
Absolutely.
Why the heck you ain't working there now?
I got fired.
Why?
What you mean why?
Why?
The liberty that they chose within their contract said just like how the government...
You wasn't bad enough to tell them people to keep your job.
God.
No, God.
You're wrong.
Okay.
They're ebb and flow in life.
Ebb and flow?
There's up and down in life.
That's what I was telling you.
You was a pastor in Andrews. Okay, well, Jesus.
For insubordination.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Why? Because my mouth hard. And guess what? My hard mouth still got to be living better than them pastors.
But so what does that have to do with anything?
So what I'm trying to say to you is that...
So the two of y'all just alike, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but I'm trying to tell Howard, if you was Cuba and Haiti, this would be consequences. Now you have to take your nation, since you're so big and bad and independent, and take it above the fray. In the Bahamas, we don't practice that. In the Bahamas, we bow. The Chinese will do a stadium, we bow. You want Bahama? We bow. You want, what's his name, Atlantis? We bow. Whatever they want, we bow.
We are geographically vulnerable, though. So it's not us bowing, I think, as a posture that's... And I do agree that we bow, but I don't think that it's a posture that is...
I don't know if it's bowing.
When I bow, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Bowing to me is bowing. Also a sign of respect, right? I don't think it's necessarily...
Why you say bow? You know what they... You know, when the government of the Bahamas comes to us with these concepts and ideas, you know what they call it? An anchor project.
Listen, I was never for VAT. Where VAT come from? Who tell any Bahamian but any VAT? Where I come from? We bowed. Yes? When it came to COVID-19 and how are we going to control COVID-19, we listen to everybody else.
I don't know if we bow, though, because there's certain things that we still do not have.
Cuba made a universal contribution for COVID-19. And I'm almost certain Howard Grant, with all these Bush doctors and stuff we got here, right here in the Bahamas.
But you just condemned Cuba.
No, I'm trying to tell you something here.
But it isn't a lot of us, Garth. We're limited edition in the nation.
Everybody in one basket. Well, what Bahamian went on the international COVID scene and showed them we have a cure in the Bahamas? Let me hear this.
What kind of cure? Anything other than pharmaceutical?
Mommy got cure for everything around here.
Yeah, but anything other than pharmaceutical, it was not encouraged. They're not interested. So I don't think that person wanted to end up dead.
Garth.
So why would they do that?
Garth.
Why would they do that?
You are my guy.
Why are you using strong words like
you,
that?
You are my guy. If you want to be decent. You are my guy, and I want to be decent. All I'm simply saying to you is that placing everyone under the umbrella of subjection and relentless servitude and this kind of an idea that you don't even have the liberty and independence within your own mind and state to move forward, upward, onward, together is something that I don't necessarily agree with. I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't agree with that. I believe that we have access and opportunity if it's 5 of us. If it's 20 of us.
I agree.
Even if we march with 3,000 of us.
I agree.
We have the ability to stand up and reform our community.
But you know what's the difference? Howard, I agree with you, and I also agree with some of the points Garth made. But you know what's the difference? Let me tell you what the difference is. The difference is, if you're going to do it in an overt way or a covert way. If you do things in overt ways, there are consequences. If you do things in covert ways, you will succeed. I think that is the only difference.
Both of you are actually right,
and that's why I like to listen to your dialogues. Because both of you make points that are correct. But again, it's the approach. You're going to do it overtly or covertly?
I accept that. Guys, I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to...
Oh, my goodness.
Is this, we can take a break and we can get back? All right, we can get back and then I can read some of this. Yeah. Let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
This Easter, from March 29th to April 3rd, witness history in the making at the Betty Kelling Kenning Aquatic Center. Cheer on Team Bahamas as we dive into history, swimming our way towards a 6th straight victory at the Charifta Aquatics. Feel the thrill of competition as 500 athletes from 24 countries from across the Caribbean converge in the Bahamas for the championship title. Immerse yourself in the greatest youth athletic spectacle being held in the Bahamas this year.
Watch live as champions are born, records are shattered, and dreams are realized. The Charifta Aquatics isn't just a competition. It's a showcase of the future of swimming right in the heart of Nassau. Mark your calendars. This Easter, March 29th to April 3rd, the Charifta Aquatics at the Betty Kelling Kenning Aquatic Center. See ticket information and full schedule at CharIftaAquatics.com. See you at the poolside.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95. Including VAT. This Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Foundation. For these last few minutes, let me see if I can read a couple of these texts. God got me hot, man. You need to stop. Right? So it says, good day to all. The problem with me and taxes is that what are the taxes going towards? Nothing works. Not a single government office works. This is information that's coming through. It says, we do not have a brain drain. We have a belief that people only have value when a foreigner values them. People are qualified when they have a foreign certification, and the drain only occurs because a foreigner values the Bahamian. It says, good afternoon. This is my analogy. Successive governments in the Bahamas are not the Bahamian people's government. They are the private consultants, the cronies, the special interest groups, the party supporters, and all politician families, friends, and lovers. It's government, not ours. Let's be realistic. This is a text that's coming through, right? Let's see if we can read another one. It says that the saving grace is that small businesses don't have to pay VAT. Now, imagine if our if our government decides to charge small business VAT, this information is Howard and Garth and Dazzy. We are paying high taxes and fees because the government mismanages. Example, bloated public servants, inefficient staffing staffs, poorly negotiated contract, lack of knowledge, creativity, etc. So we can be best business people, but we still struggle because our weakest link, which is government, is sad to say. All right, this is a text that's coming through. Like I've been saying, going downhill ever since the Negro rule. My God, you don't need to stop. It says, Howard, God has a point. He win this argument. You all need to stop. God is wrong today. I don't care. But God, let me tell you something. I don't want to row with God. But it is absolutely impossible to have this conversation without understanding the strength of other men to encourage you. That's it. Our responsibility, if it's only the 20%, if it's 5%, if it's the 1%, is to identify the stories of empowerment and the opportunities to be able to push forward. Haiti, despite the way that the conditioning of our society and the world is said to look down on them, they provided us this example. Cuba, despite the way that they've been embargoed and separate and segregated, we look at them as an example. Right now, if you look at Ukraine,
of what?
Right now, of being able to stand for yourself. The Bay of
Pigs. What is the result?
Watch me. But what is the result? Do you really need to be a part of a society and want nothing to do with you? Based upon the conditioning that America put on you, you feel like you should. I tell you, go to Cuba.
I need to go to Target. I don't know what all
no, that. No, go to Cuba. Go to Cuba. You'll realize what exists there. Ukraine is providing us with an example currently. Ukraine, who stood up against a giant, which is Russia. What do we say? What do we say to them? These people provide a shining example of being able to stay steadfast despite the trials and tribulation that exist thereof. And that's all I want to say. We here in the foundation believe in the indomitable spirit of the man. Black man, white man, and others to stand strong in their conviction, to stand strong in their faith, to be determined and look to an overarching objective to move forward, upward, onward together. That's it. This is the foundation. Wow. I will be as decent as possible as I say that. Thank you. And I, God is wrong.
Thank you, Howard.
God is wrong today. It's the foundation, guys. Thank you very, so very kindly for being able to tune in. We're going to see you guys tomorrow, God's will, right here on the foundation. Give me a call, 827-0111, if you want to participate in Small Business Thursdays. Guys, thank you so very kindly for being able to join in with us today. And none other than Dazzy and Garth, we can see you next time right here on the foundation.
The foundation. Yeah.
foundation. The foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.